Today on the Beginner Photography Podcast.
I don't consider myself to be some magician or some like, I have all of your answers sort of thing.
Right.
More so what I want to do is create a safe space that lets you know that you can step into it. Same with when I teach photography. I don't know if these pictures are good enough to charge. Are you kidding me? These pictures are amazing. You should charge. And then they charge and then they're making money. So I didn't do anything in that situation. I just gave them the confidence. I like opened the door for them to walk through.
Hey, welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast. This week we are talking with boudoir photographer Michael Sasser on how to find more of your ideal clients even when just getting started. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast, a weekly podcast for those who believe that moments matter most and that a beautiful photo is more than just a sum of its settings. A show for those who want to do more with the gear they have to take better photos today. And now, your host, Raymond Hatfield.
Oh, welcome back, photo friends. It is me, Raymond Hatfield. I'm your host this week and every week. And I'm excited to be here today because it's been a while since... you know what I do? I try to... At the beginning of each month, I will try to do a bunch of podcast interviews at a time so that I can just batch them all out, which will give me more time, you know, towards the middle and the end of the month to interact with you within the Facebook group or, you know, get out and shoot more and just do more of those things that, you know, I enjoy the most. But unfortunately, I had a bit of a head cold that I got from the kids at the beginning of the month. So... I'm just finally starting to feel like I'm getting back to myself. But if you hear a little bit of it, it's still kind of lingering around there, and I apologize for that. And like I said, I've been trying to spend a lot more time within the Facebook group, hanging out with you all and just seeing what you guys are up to. And it is just so much fun to see the range of not only photographers, but the photos that are posted, the types of photos that are posted, and then the questions that come up as well. We got photographers who are professionals, who have been doing it for a while, and are happy to give feedback. And we got photographers who, you know, like Caitlin hasn't even started. She hasn't even bought a camera yet. She's just like so excited about photography that she's still shooting with her cell phone and sharing photos. And that is one of those things that like I get really excited about, because I know personally that, you know, a photograph is so much more than the sum of its settings. And it doesn't really matter what camera it is that you're using. The camera is just a tool, and it's, you know, it can help make things easier, of course, but if you really have that passion and you really just want to get started and dive into it, you can do it with just the camera in on your cell phone and still come up with some really, really great results. So that's one of my favorite things about the Facebook group, is that we understand that everybody in there understands that everybody is at a very different point in their photography journey, and that whatever questions you may have aren't, you know, you're not going to be judged based on those questions, because you're somewhere else. You might be at the beginning stages of your photography journey, whereas somebody else may be, you know, more developed. They've been doing it for a while, but they know that they used to probably have those same questions too, and that they're going to be helpful and they're going to answer. And the community in there just continues to get stronger every day. And again, it is just a blast to be a part of. So if you're listening and you're not a part of the Beginner Photography Podcast community, I want to invite you to come on in and see what it's all about. I promise you that you're going to have a good time. You can find it by heading over to Facebook and searching for Beginner Photography Podcast, and you'll see the group right there. Go ahead and come on in and introduce yourself. Let us know where you're from, what it is that you like to shoot, and, you know, share some of your photos. We would love to see them. Now, as I mentioned earlier in that intro, this week we are chatting with boudoir photographer Michael Sasser, and this is Michael's second time on the podcast. I interviewed him back in episode 150 of the podcast. So in this episode, we kind of breeze over some of his early days in photography, but it is really interesting stuff. So if you are interested, I highly recommend that you go back and listen to episode 150 with Michael Sasser. He didn't just pick up a camera and start shooting boudoir day one. He has an interesting journey. So again, if you want to hear how he got started, that's episode 150. You can check that out wherever you're listening to this podcast right now. So while we don't spend too much time in the beginning phases, today Michael shares all about, you know, the ideal client. You know, we all start shooting something, we start shooting for somebody, and I can, you know, I'll be the first to admit that some of those first clients that you get are not good fits for you, and unfortunately that can leave a bad taste in your mouth. So, you know, kind of take away the joy of the photography side of it. So Michael's going to share some great tips on why you want to be looking for an ideal client, obviously, and how you can be proactive in finding more of your ideal clients to get started. All right, yeah, that didn't roll off the tongue. But with that, let's go ahead and get on into this interview with Michael Sasser. I know it's been more than 2 years since you were on the podcast. So for new listeners, can you just give us a brief history of how you got started in photography and how you got to where you are today?
I love it. It's been a journey. I've been kind of interested in photography, shooting for about 15 years. I got started in Australia. I'd had my study abroad, so I'm 35. I did my study abroad out in Australia. And I took a camera, you know, before iPhones, and I got really curious about shooting sunset. I remember the first picture is I took a picture of a sunset, and it was the most beautiful sunset I had ever seen. And I looked down at the camera. I was like, that's not what that sunset looks like at all. And so I was like, how do I make it more like that? More like reality. How do I create in the camera what I saw in real life? And that kind of started me on this journey to learning how to use the camera. And it started out with sunsets, landscapes, and flowers. And my first job was shooting children's sports photography. So I found a company on Craigslist, and my job was to shoot, you know, little Johnny swinging the baseball bat and try and get the ball out in front of the bat. So even if he missed it, it would still look like he might have hit it. And sell that picture back to their parents for, you know, however much, $10, $12 for an 8x10. And I was like 21 or 22 at the time. And I realized that I probably wasn't going to be making enough money doing that. It was long hours. We had to travel. And so I needed to learn how to run my own business. I needed to learn how to shoot portraits, how to shoot weddings, if I was really going to make enough money to make photography a sustainable career. So from there, went to high school senior portraits, headshots for actors. I ended up starting to shoot weddings. I learned videography. So I shot wedding videos in Denver, Colorado for a number of years. And then I found boudoir photography through a workshop. And I really enjoyed it. Once I moved to California, so I've been in California for about 6 years now, I stopped shooting wedding videography. I stopped shooting wedding photography. And now I've solely done boudoir photography for about the last 6 years.
Hey, Raymond here. If you're sometimes baffled by which camera settings to use, then I've got just the thing for you. My free guide, Picture Perfect Camera Settings. It's a fantastic starting point for anybody eager to understand the basics of camera settings in various shooting scenarios. And it's tailored to beginners who want to get out of auto mode, providing clear, easy-to-follow suggestions on where to start with your settings. So whether you're capturing a stunning landscape or a family portrait, Picture Perfect Camera Settings will help you to get off of automatic mode and explore the possibilities your camera offers. Remember, mastering photography settings is a journey, and this guide is your first step and the perfect resource to guide you towards finding the right settings for your style. So grab your copy today at perfectcamerasettings.com and start your journey to better photos. So I remember last time you were talking about, I think the topic of our conversation last time was being a male boudoir photographer, because the skew is so much more towards women than it is men. So you obviously have a bit of a unique perspective. And you talked about the importance of your why you wanted to be a boudoir photographer and why it was important to you. Now, I think since then, out of all the podcast interviews that I've had, like that piece right there has probably gotten the most amount of attention, because I get a lot of photographers who are now, they're asking me, like, how do I find my why? And I feel like the answer is exactly the same for photographers who ask, like, how do I find my style? And the only answer is, well, you just have to go out there and shoot, and you have to find it yourself. Now, I'd love to hear, you know, your thoughts on this, but is that how your why developed, or is there an element of planning that went on there to find your why?
That's a good question. So my particular experience was, you know, boudoir was kind of an extra paycheck for me. I wasn't shooting weddings in the winter time, and I had a space enough, you know, it was just a futon, but I had good enough light in my space that I was just like, what if I could start shooting boudoir? I took this workshop. It makes sense. I already know how to use my camera. I'll just do it with, in this other genre. And it was great, but you know, emotionally it meant really not that much to me. It was a new curiosity. It was like, can I figure this out? So for me, it was a little bit of a transition over time. You know, I had a number of clients that came in that shared their insecurities. These women that, you know, objectively I thought were beautiful, and they shared these insecurities that they had. And I thought they were kind of silly for thinking so. And I showed them the pictures on the camera, and sometimes they tear up, and I was just like, what the heck is going on? And I had learned through them how many women, you know, hold this emotional weight of them, like not living up to whatever the beauty standards are, being really hard on themselves, being picked on, or being called names when they were younger, never really getting over that. And so they've been telling themselves this story over and over again for years that they're not pretty, or they're unattractive, or they're not worthy of love, you know, all those things. And sometimes seeing a beautiful picture of themselves is the first time that they've really been able to see it themselves. So that was sort of eye-opening to me. And once I realized that, I got a little bit of fulfillment from being able to do this good deed, from being able to be a safe space, or a like kind of push the needle forward for these women to be able to have something that I don't think I ever really needed to worry about, you know, image wise. I mean, I've had plenty of like, you know, am I going to be able to date the person that's going to like me back? But as mm-hmm. far as having the weight of that throughout my life, I haven't had to experience. So it was very cool to have that opened up to me, which is possible in a genre where it's, you know, mostly women, and on the topic of, you know, it's pretty vulnerable to get down to your lingerie and be photographed in front of a stranger. So, so that was my experience. I would say that it's important if you're looking for your own, whether or not it's wedding photography. I'll share a story. I was on Clubhouse, and they were kind of sharing a little bit about creativity. One woman said that she shot wedding photography because she's had trouble in her marriage, and her parents didn't make it. And she found that she felt that if she could take good enough pictures that showed this couple's love enough, that when they're on hard times, they could look back at their wedding pictures and be reminded of why they started this journey in the first place. And that could give them some fuel, some support in making it through the hard times. Wow.
Yeah.
Like wedding photography as a form of like therapy, or wanting to hold other people's marriages, make other people's marriages stronger. Like that's a why.
Yeah.
You know? So I think if, you know, for anybody listening that doesn't really know how to find their why, like what do you feel if you look back at your life and maybe what was missing, or what you wished you could give, or what you want people to be able to receive from your photography? I think those are good questions to ask in order to start to understand what fuels you outside of the, wow, cameras are interesting, or it's so neat when I get a new lens, or if I do it this way, I earn more money. But really, like, what's the additional factor? What's the X factor that gets you excited to pick up that camera?
Right. So for you, it evolved over time. This wasn't, you didn't start out from the beginning thinking this is going to be my why and work that way. Things changed as you progressed as a boudoir photographer.
Yeah. I had no idea that existed. You know, I mean, it's a very talked about topic right now, but 7 or 8 years ago, it wasn't as much. And hearing enough stories from enough clients, being in the Facebook groups and hearing other stories, and having people feel open enough to share with me now that I am in the genre, it's just more common than I thought.
Yeah.
And so I've just been grateful to, like, you know, have a lens into that for lack of a better word. And that it took some, it took many experiences like that before it clicked for me.
Of course. Yeah. So then when you get that, does your why now affect the way that you shoot? Like, does it actually change the photography or does it change the service that you provide to your clients?
Yeah. So one of the things that's important to me is I've been told that my work is really honest, that my work is natural, that my work is, you know, I really want, there's a bunch of different, you know, photography is a niche, wedding photography is a niche, high school senior portraits a niche. And then within that, you can niche down as well. So mm-hmm. for me, I don't edit my pictures that much. My rules are if it's permanent, take it out. Or let's see, if it's temporary, take it out. If it's permanent, leave it in. So when somebody comes to me and they say, oh, well, I've got this scar on my leg from something, can we just remove it? I try really hard to get them to keep it in the pictures mm-hmm. because I think people, you know, skin is skin and that's what skin looks like. And to spend all this time in the software to change what somebody looks like and they see the picture of themselves, I believe that in their mind, they're going to say, wow, I look beautiful after Photoshop and fancy lighting. And in real life, I know I'm not this, but for one moment I can pretend.
Yeah.
That's not my goal with boudoir, is to give them a relief from reality. What I want them to do is restructure their reality that, oh my God, I've got this scar and it doesn't look bad. Wait, I've been self-conscious about my stomach, but it doesn't look the way that I've been imagining it does. Or I've always been self-conscious about my short legs, but look at how good they look in these pictures. I would rather that than somebody say, oh, thank God you're good at Photoshop, because I wouldn't have been able to be beautiful otherwise. So within that, that's a lot of what we talk about during the photo shoots when I hear somebody say, hey, I'm not, you know, good luck. I'm not a pretty, you know, I'm never the pretty girl. I'm always just kind of the goofy person. We'll stop and we'll discuss that. We'll discuss that. Will you receive, you know, from your significant others, they tell you you're beautiful. Well, yeah, well, they have to, because they, you know, they're my significant other. I'm like, so you're thinking they're lying? Well, they're not lying. So having a discussion where you are this and you are that, you are beautiful and you are goofy and you are smart and you are a mom and you are a teacher and you are devious and you are all of these things, but you have cut your identity down to just the one thing that you feel most comfortable in. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Just showing them that they are all of the things that they don't think they are, I think is more powerful than just your pretty picture or being able to do the one time, you know, the one time only moment of beauty. So those are the kind of some of the things that I talk about, and I consider myself to be pretty passionate about it.
Yeah.
So as far as having that experience, knowing that that is what brings me one of the things in boudoir photography that gets me excited about shooting is kind of making a difference for these people. I lean into that a little bit more during the shoot instead of just kind of ignoring the topic.
So the first half of that answer was definitely focused on physical attributes of, you know, your subject in front of your camera. But then the second half of that answer was very much the head space type. Yeah, exactly. The identity stuff. So I guess what's the question I'm trying to formulate here? Are you going in trying to change their vision of themselves so that the photos that you take of their internal imperfections of their physical body changes? Is that too much of a question? Does that make sense?
I'm kind of trying to meet them with where they're at. So some people come in and I mean, it's rare that somebody comes in, they're like, let's do this thing. I've got nothing. I feel amazing. So let's just shoot around.
Right.
But if somebody comes in and says, I had a client in her, so funny. She was a client in her 60s. She's like, I don't really want anything that shows my butt. I don't think I really have one. I think it's, you know, less less appropriate thing to photograph. Mm-hmm. So let's just, you know, let's shy away from that. And some of the pictures, she was kind of turned to the side, and it did. It showed her butt. And that's something that I'm going to, I may photograph in a way that I think will be within their comfort level, but still something that they can see that may challenge their view of themselves. And she bought both those pictures. She's like, it's so funny. I came in here and I thought I didn't want that. And now that I see it, I've never imagined I would like a picture of myself that has my butt in it. Mm-hmm. So those are the sort of things that I may challenge, but I definitely, you know, it's not my agenda. I consider it to be the agenda they're not sure that they want. So, you know, when they show up, I want to give them an opportunity to feel safe, to be vulnerable, to take pictures that they may not have thought that they were capable of, to show themselves in a way that they may not have imagined themselves. But I want to do that one step ahead of wherever they're at. So,
one step ahead of wherever they're at.
Yeah. So if they come in, they say, like, I don't think I want any pictures that show my butt. That's pretty rare. Mm-hmm. That's pretty rare. So for her, I'm going to try and be just one step ahead of that. Like, well, let me take something. And if you like it, that's great. And if you don't like it, that's okay too. Mm-hmm. Whereas the next person may say, I don't want any shots with nudity in it. Okay. Well, you know, now we've been shooting for an hour. Do you think you'd be comfortable enough to do that? And then if they say yes, then we can try that. And then again, they'll be like, wow, I never thought I could do something like that. So more so I'm trying to like hold their hand as they go through this experience themselves. It's really, and what I found, if it's photography, you know, for anybody listening and they're like, can I do boudoir? Can I not do boudoir? Can I try this? Can I not try this? Is it okay to do this? Like most people just need permission. Like they can do it themselves. I don't consider myself to be some magician or some like, I have all of your answers sort of thing.
Right.
Or so what I want to do is create a safe space that lets you know that you can step into it. Same with when I teach photography. I don't know if these pictures are good enough to charge. Are you kidding me? These pictures are amazing. You should charge. And then they say, mm-hmm. I should charge. And then they charge and then they're making money. So I didn't do anything in that situation. I just gave them the confidence. I like opened the door for them to walk through.
Hey, Raymond here, and we will get back to today's show in just a moment. You know, for the past several years, I have paid for an expensive, far too expensive, album design software that I didn't even love because, well, there was no other choice, to be honest. And then one day, I got an email from CloudSpot, which is my client gallery system, announcing that they built an album builder in to their gallery software. What? Now, myself or my clients can build a beautiful album and have it shipped right to them. And on top of all that, this feature is included for free. Now, after building a few albums to test it out, I canceled my expensive, dedicated album software membership right away, and I have not looked back. CloudSpot is built by photographers for photographers, and they listen to their customers to improve their service all the time. You can join the CloudSpot family by learning more and signing up over at deliverphotos.com today. You can even build albums with a free account. How awesome is that? So sign up now over at deliverphotos.com. Now, let's go ahead and get on back to today's interview. What's funny to think about there is, I think this idea, and tell me if I'm wrong, but when somebody tells you, hey, you know what, not really comfortable with my butt, don't really like it, don't really want any photos of it, do you make it like a personal mission to then take a great photo of that person's butt?
Yeah, I think a lot of boudoir photographers feel that way, you know, because the more powerful thing, you've got two options, is to say, wow, this client doesn't like their X, their feature, whatever it is. So I'm going to try and hide that in all the photos and reaffirm their belief that it's not something that should be seen.
Yeah.
Right. So that's option one. Option two is to challenge that belief that says you really have nothing to be ashamed of. You really don't have anything to hide. In fact, it could be something that you should be proud of. And so in what way do you do that is by taking a picture that shows it, that challenges their perspective of what that is. So yes, if a client says, sorry, I don't have a butt, you know, like you're just going to have to work with what you have. I say, oh, okay. And I set them up in the poses that I know work. And at the end, they're like, these are the best pictures ever. Or somebody who says, you know, I don't really have a good serious face. So I'm just going to be giggling and laughing the whole time. I want to get like fierce shots of them looking into the camera.
Yeah.
The challenge is this idea of themselves that they can't be, sexy or that they don't look that way. Because even though that's a physical thing, it changes their mental perspective, right? Even though it's a photo of themselves where they say, okay, physically I see that I look sexy, but now how do I feel as a result of that? I may feel powerful. I may feel stronger. I may feel more dominant. I may feel more in control. I may feel all of these things. This is the mm-hmm. feeling that comes out of what the picture may look like.
So are you, throughout the shoot, you're showing pictures of just like the back of your camera to reaffirm that they are looking good and that this is turning out well?
Yeah, it depends on the client. But in the first 2 minutes, I try and show at least one. Mm-hmm. Because people's imaginations are just like, they feel kind of stiff and they're like, these probably don't look good. And so to get a quick shot that shows them looking really nice, then to show them just everything gets shattered, like their beliefs on, oh, wait, that looks good. That's how did you do that? Like, what's yeah. the secret sauce? I'm like, there's no secret sauce. I told you to stand over here by the window. I took the picture. Here it is. We're just getting started.
Yeah.
And that breaks a lot of the, like, it's almost like at the very beginning, it's like, this guy's got no shot. Mm-hmm. You know, good luck. And then I do it and they're like, oh, okay. Okay. Now I want to be a part of it. So that builds a little bit of a bond. It breaks down a few barriers, makes them more comfortable, release a lot of the tension, a lot of the nerves. My goal isn't to show them everything at the reveal sure. at the end of the photo shoot. I want to show them, but yeah, I'd say throughout the shoot, I probably show them between 5 and 12 pictures.
Gotcha. Okay. So at this point, like boudoir photography, and again, correct me if I'm wrong here, but like unlike weddings or family portraits, with boudoir, I'd assume that the photos, they're going to be mostly private. They're not going to be shared for the most part, social media, and just blasted everywhere on the internet. So boudoir photography, is it more important? Is the service more important than the final deliverables? There are two ways to bring home more money with your photography business. You either get more clients or you spend less of the money that you make. CloudSpot Studio helps you keep more of what you earn. With the lowest payment processing fees in the industry, the average photographer will save $300 annually. And that's just more money to invest in essential gear like a new flash or a sweet camera bag. You know, one that is perfect for storing all of the wedding day snacks that you can pack. But it's not just about savings. CloudSpot Studio is designed to streamline your workflow. Easily organize shoots, send contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and you're really going to enjoy the hassle-free payments. So sign up for a free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com. And as a bonus, you're going to get access to my exclusive wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires at no additional cost. Why let fees chip away at your profits? Empower your photo journey with CloudSpot and watch your business soar.
Yes. I mean, that's an interesting topic because it can be more difficult to market for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. Exactly as you said, about half of your clients, maybe more, probably won't let you share their pictures. Mm-hmm. I had a client recently who is a therapist. We're not going to put her pictures online.
Sure.
Even if she wanted to, you know, yeah. like it's just something that if somebody found it could impact her practice. It sucks that may be the case, but that's the world that we live in right now. So one of my favorite shoots this year, nobody's going to see those pictures, but anybody she chooses to share.
Yeah.
And with that, that's some of the marketing, right? Is she feels really good. She's got similar friends who are going through similar things who also want a photo shoot. Then amazing. Reviews are massive. They are massive to get good reviews for boudoir, to have somebody telling you that they felt safe, that they felt comfortable, that they were nervous, that how they felt after the shoot, you know, that they're still looking through their pictures. All that stuff is worth way more than a good picture.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you've got your options between getting somebody to write a heartfelt review and taking your favorite picture ever, like, I'll take the heartfelt review 10 times out of 10.
Of course.
So, yeah, that's absolutely, I would say that's absolutely true.
Okay. So then let's continue to shift more into the business side here. I had seen you had told me that you're working on a new system in which has allowed you to work with more of your ideal clients. And you started implementing this system that has your calendar more booked than ever and has given you more control over your business as well. So I would love to hear more about this. Can you give me like the 30,000 foot overview of what the system is, of what you're doing?
I'll give you the cliff notes. And to do that, I'll say that the way that I used to book clients is whenever I would get an email, I would try and email them back right away and try and get them on the phone that day or the next morning. Hopefully they were free. We didn't have to play too much email tag. Once we got on the phone, I would give them the spiel and ask them, when do you want to book? And they'd say, well, I'm not, you know, my wedding isn't for 4 months or 5 months, or I'm looking for, you know, whenever in the next while. I don't really have anything set that I need. Okay, well, let's try and book you in on a date. And I was basically kind of scrambling to fill people in. I was getting enough inquiries. I was booking the amount that I wanted to, but I always felt like I was chasing people.
Yeah.
And so after the pandemic happened and we had to stop shooting, I went back and I looked at my system and I said, is this making me happy? Do I feel fulfilled? Am I worried about thinking about booking the next client all of the time? And how do I take more control of that? So I basically, the ability to book more with this system that gives me more control has just come out of wanting more control for myself. So the first thing is now I don't book within 6 months. I book within 3 months. Now, three months is a relatively short amount of time. So it's, it's July as we speak. So I've got shoots booked in September. I'll probably open up October dates this weekend, possibly. So that's within 3 months of today's date.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to worry about booking a year out if I decide to move, if I decide I hate boudoir, whatever it is. So that's the first way that I took back control. Hey, do you want to book with me? It has to be within the first three months. So that alone put a little pressure on clients that if I'm the person that they want to work with, that it's going to have to happen. Yeah. They can't like put it for 6 months or let me call you back in 3 months or something. They kind of have to make a decision. The next thing I decided was, I've always only wanted to book 6 shoots a month, but this time I literally have capped it. And now I let people know that I've got a limited number of shoots that I can book every 6 months or every 3 months is 6 shoots per month.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, now there's another level of, wow, I really need to get into book with this person. Otherwise they're going to fill up their dates. And then the very last thing that I did in order to stop needing to message everybody back right away was to build a wait list, which means that when somebody comes to my website and they want to book with me, they put their email address in and it starts to send them a queue of emails that helps build rapport. And the first email says, wow, thanks for taking the first step. You've now been added to the wait list. You're going to need to wait and look for when dates open up again.
Yeah.
So this again creates like, oh my God, I can't even book right now. Even if I wanted to, this person must be really good. They must have a lot of people who want to work with them. So now I need to be really on it if I really want to book with this person. So with that, I've been pretty much hitting my 6 shoots a month, sometimes 7, depending if I open up an extra date. You know, if I can tell somebody really, really wants to work with me and they're going to be an amazing client, they're really going to appreciate it, I'll open up an extra date or two. But it's been working pretty well since April, May, about the last 4 months. So I implemented it in February is when I started doing it. So it took about 2 or 3 months to really get going, but now I've refined some things. And everybody, I talk to my makeup artists while they're getting their hair and makeup done. I stay there for the first 30 minutes and then I come and I sit down in the office and I get some work done. And they've been telling me that, wow, everybody is so excited to be here. They really feel lucky to have gotten a chance to shoot with you. Wow, I can't believe I was able to get a spot. I'm really excited. I've been wanting to do this, and I really feel like this is going to be the one. I can't believe I'm here.
Wow.
You know, that kind of energy is really exciting because it means that when I ask them to do something or I want to lead them through something, maybe give them outfit tips, they're really going to be hanging on every word because they really trust that I'm the professional and that I'm going to guide them in the right way, which can be a difference from if you've got a client who's sort of like, I didn't really look at the websites and I just kind of like booked the first person I found and I showed up with a baseball jersey and a trucker hat and I,
sure,
you know, and a bow and arrow. And I was like, these are the things that I want to shoot with, you know, whatever, whatever they're into that you may not connect to,
yeah,
but because there hasn't been enough connection or excitement to shoot with you specifically, you can kind of get an array of people.
So first of all, I love that. Thank you for sharing that. I want to dive just a bit deeper into that because I know that when we first start off, essentially we are looking like we just want every client that comes our way until you get to a point where you realize, oh, wait, I'm actually working with a lot of people who are not my ideal clients. And you had mentioned that this is helping you get more ideal clients so that now when they're there in your studio, they're saying, oh my gosh, I'm so lucky. I'm excited to be here, that you've really built up that connection. So is the way that you're building that connection and finding the ideal clients or filtering out who is your ideal client versus not your ideal client through the series of emails that you're sending them leading up to offering dates available?
It's a number of things. So the first thing that I don't want people to think is that you have to do one extreme or the other. So usually when people who are just starting, they're like, well, I don't have a whole bunch of inquiries coming in. I have to chase everything, which is true, which is what I did, which is what everybody does when they first start. But the way in which you approach it doesn't have to be in a form at which you are chasing. So some of the language on your website can show, you know, it starts on your website, in the emails that you send, in the way that you talk to them on the phone, you know, these sort of things. What you're trying to do is not necessarily alienate anybody, or you're not trying to book so little that you don't get work. What you're trying to do is show them that you're somebody who's worthwhile shooting with more so than you would do, you know, you would feel lucky to have their business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically that swap. So in the emails, I'm discussing different topics. So one of the topics I'm discussing is posing. So the first thing everybody thinks is, especially for boudoir, is I'm going to show up, I'm going to look like an idiot because I don't know how to pose. And so as much as I can explain to them that they don't have to do a single thing, all they have to do is show up, I'm going to take care of the rest, is going to relieve a lot of the pressure on them to try and perform during the photo shoot, because what they think is it's up to them whether or not their pictures are going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't know how to pose, my pictures are going to be bad. If I don't know how to look, my pictures are going to be bad. And so one of the emails is dedicated to explaining that the way they're thinking about it is incorrect. The truth is that all you have to do is show up. I have an analogy in there. Like, you wouldn't go to a restaurant and expect to cook your own food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. The chef does that. You know, whether or not your food is good is not up to you. It's up to the chef. So that's what one of the emails discusses. Another one discusses the movie I Feel Pretty, which
okay.
is just such a great movie. And it's basically a woman who has never felt pretty in her life. It's I think it's Amy Schumer, and she bumps her head and all of a sudden she looks herself in the mirror. She's like, whoa, I'm hot. And nothing changed except just the way she perceives herself. And you get to see her move through the movie the whole day as somebody who believes that they are beautiful instead of somebody who believes they're taking up space in this world. And I think it's just such an incredible story and so funny. And we talk about that mental shift that happens after you get your boudoir pictures taken, that the way you look doesn't change, but the way you look at yourself changes. And so these are the types of things I'm trying to cultivate. I'm trying to let them know that I know what they're going through. I'm familiar with what's going on in their head. I've photographed a lot of different people. And so they're going to be in good hands. And what's nice about boudoir is it's not, you know, it's not a must have experience. You know, senior portraits, the deadline comes up. You got to get your senior pictures done. If you don't get your senior pictures, you're not going to have any pictures. You got to have stuff in the yearbook. Like it's got to happen.
Yeah.
Boudoir is not like that. So a lot of people are like, I know I want to do it, but I'm curious. Let me shoot out a couple of feelers and see. By doing that, you'll lose clients. Absolutely. The way that I do it, I have plenty of people that I'm sure sign up for my wait list. They call another photographer who gets on the phone with them that night. They book with that photographer. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that because my own personal goals are 6 shoots a month within 3 months. As long as I book those 18 clients, I'm okay if 1,000 other people hire 1,000 other photographers. So it's important to set your goals as to how many you want and within what time frame, because otherwise, if you're booking 6 shoots a month at $6,000 or whatever your first year of photography, you're making $80,000 a year, which is amazing.
Yeah.
If you try and book 100 people a month, you may only book one, because nobody's choosing you for you.
Mm-hmm. So then I guess, again, I feel like my mind is going in a million directions right here. That was a great explanation. And I know that, you know, setting up these emails, we can all figure out whether it's ConvertKit or MailChimp or whatever it is, it can be done. But I guess how do you say that you get out of, I don't know, 30 inquiries on your wait list for the month, say that you get 13 who you think are going to be real good fits. I guess, how did you come up with that decision? And what do you do at that point if you only have 6 dates?
We get on the phone. And I think boudoir especially, it's important to get on the phone. There are some photographers I know who book over email, mm-hmm. and they book a ton. And I think it's crazy. I would never book somebody without first speaking to them on the phone. Me personally.
Yeah.
So we get on the phone. So once I sign up for the email list, I'm going to send out an email that says, hey, everybody, this Saturday is a chance to book your photo shoot. Sign up for a time. There are 12 slots. And then the slots populate and I get on the phone with them and we talk. Why are you interested in a boudoir shoot? Unless somebody like really gives me the heebie-jeebies, you know, I'm not going to say no. I've had that happen 2 or 3 times where I've said, well, let me double check my calendar and I'll get back to you. And then I've decided that they're not the right client for me.
Right.
But pretty much everybody by that point, you know, I think when people are first starting out, they have a hard time showing their brand, showing like, this is what I'm about. Here's the type of photos you're going to get. This is what past clients have said. Here's a video of me shooting. You know, those sort of things answer a ton of the questions so that when you get on the phone with them, they're already like, hey, I read that review where the person said they were nervous and then they had a great time. And hey, I read your about me that said you went through something when you were younger and that's why you're shooting boudoir now. Hey, I click through your portfolio and I can imagine myself in your pictures. If they do all of those things, by the time they get on the phone with you, it's going to be much easier to convert them.
Yeah.
But if you've got 3 or 4 photos and you say, I like boudoir because I like making people feel pretty, and your testimonial says, Michael was a great photographer, I'd highly recommend them. It's going to be much more difficult. First of all, that person who calls you could be anyone. Mm-hmm. And secondly, it's going to be much more difficult to connect with them because you're going to have to do so much of the work over the phone.
Yeah.
Versus already having some of that work done for you. So, you know, when you're 10, 15 years into business, you can get at the point where you can book people over email because you've got enough reviews and you've got enough this and that and the other. When you're first starting out, to precede your phone calls, work on your past clients to get as many reviews as you can, put those everywhere on your website. If they do sign up for an email list, put those reviews in that first email. Here's a recent client, what they said. They said they were really nervous. They've never done anything like this before. They thought they were going to look silly and now they can't stop staring at themselves. That's going to connect with your potential clients. They're going to say, okay, that's exactly the experience that I want. I'm going to choose them over the person who just said, Michael was a great photographer. I highly recommend them.
Right.
So the phone call is a chance to listen to why they want to shoot boudoir or any genre. When somebody says, hey, I'm interested in high school senior pictures, why is that important to you? When the mom says, Hey, I'm looking for a high school senior portrait photographer for my daughter. We're making a few phone calls, and you say something around being able to look back at these pictures at this time in their life when they're growing up. And do you remember like the first time they got pictures when they were like 3 years old or babies or something? And you can connect on that topic.
Yeah.
Oh, this person understands why I'm doing it. I want to hire this person. Then once you get to price and stuff, it's much easier for them to spend money because now they want to hire you for more than just how much you cost.
Of course. Of course. You know what I love? I love how you broke down so easy. Not only how that works, how you put it into practice, but also that it can be applied pretty much to anything else with that last example there. Like I'm thinking of three or four ways that I could use that just in my own wedding photography. And I mean, again, it just increases that demand for your services. And in a time where it comes to like weddings, I know with me personally, with weddings, it feels very much like clients don't really know what it is that they're looking at, but there are so many different, you know, as you said, sub niches of wedding photography that it really comes to education and figuring out how you get the right information to your clients. And I think I'm going to sit on that for a little bit and brainstorm how I can put that into practice, because I really think that that's going to make a huge change. And again, for really any style of photography, that's great.
Especially for wedding photography, I would say that that is something where people typically call a lot of different people. And the conversations could be relatively similar. Well, how did you guys meet?
Yeah.
You know, if you can find a question that's less common to connect with them on, to be the person who's like a little bit different, who asks like a little bit more interesting question. I think that's a good way to help you stand out as a way to, yeah, everyone wants to know, how did he propose? Well, let me tell you for the thousandth time, because I've told 1,000 other people.
Yeah.
You know, it can be not that those questions aren't, you know, don't have relevance, but as far as the same way to ask, why are you interested in a boudoir shoot, and share a similar story, you know, that you've gone through, or for people that I've known in my life, or to get, you know, to dig a little bit so that they feel like, wow, I'm opening up to this person a little bit. I must be comfortable with this person. Now I feel like I want to hire this person specifically, is a much more powerful tool to book your clients than how much do you cost? Because that's just a number.
Right. Right. And it doesn't tell anything. It doesn't tell you anything. Unfortunately, there are so many photographers, you know, who I would say are within my same price range, but are wildly different in terms of styles. And it's really unfortunate, because now I feel like the weight falls on me, because I have to make sure that I'm not going to take a client who wants a certain style that I'm not an expert at delivering. You know what I mean? So yeah, I could see how this could be an amazing thing here. I really appreciate you sharing.
The last thing I want to say about that is there's a lot of discussion on like, oh, you shouldn't charge $100. You shouldn't charge $200. The point isn't like, at what point are you pricing yourself? There's plenty of people who only have $100 to spend, or there's plenty of people who only have $200 to spend. And yeah, what an amazing thing for them to be able to have quality photography. The point is, even if that's where you're starting, don't make that the main reason why somebody would choose you.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if that's where you're at and that's the clients that you're getting, use all of that to position yourself. You know, if it's important to you to earn more, to start earning, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 per client, then use that as part of your journey to learn how to connect on a more emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what makes people spend money. Nobody spends $500 on shoes because they're more comfortable,
right?
You know,
it's, I don't know, maybe I would.
Because how it makes you feel when, yeah, you're wearing those shoes, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course. This has been wonderful. Michael, I hate to, you know, cut it off here, but I know that we're coming to the end of our time. And you have just shared so much. Once again, you are an open book, and you're more than happy to talk about, you know, exactly how your business works, which I think is great, you know, especially in a world of, you know, I don't want to say that boudoir photography is very secretive, but just in its very nature, it feels more private than other forms of photography. So for you to kind of like be that person to say, hey, I'm here, I'm open, I'm willing to help, I know like how this works and you can do it too, is very refreshing. And I can tell it comes through in all of your answers. So I appreciate you being so open and honest with all of your answers today.
Absolutely. I appreciate that. You know, I think that first of all, I think boudoir is an amazing genre and it does a lot of good for the world. And the more people that are good at it and charge what it's worth, the more everyone will start to understand its value.
Yeah.
You know, like you could think like, oh, if more people know about it, then I won't be able to charge as much. But something really funny happened when Starbucks came out. They thought they were going to put all the other coffee shops out of business. But what it did was create a coffee culture that all the little coffee shops started to get way more business too.
Yeah.
Because Starbucks brought coffee to the mainstream more so. And now everybody knows the value of having a nice warm cup of coffee in the morning. I don't drink coffee, but for most people it does. And same for boudoir, the more people who are good at it and can connect on an emotional level and take quality pictures, the more everybody wins.
Mm-hmm. What do you do to get ready in the morning if you don't drink coffee?
I just get 8 hours of sleep and
you wake up ready to go. You're just excited for the day.
Sit down on my computer and start clicking away.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Michael, before I let you go, why don't you let people know where they can find out more about you and what it is that you do online?
Absolutely. So I basically have a couple of channels at which you can connect with me. If you guys are looking for free tutorials around boudoir, then I've got a YouTube channel that has a ton, 75, 80 videos on the topic. I mean, you could just binge watch a ton and get started, which is really exciting. So that's the first thing. The second thing is if the next free avenue would be my Instagram page. I'm posting, I'm doing Instagram lives. I'm doing some different stuff like that, which is really fun. Also, I've got a Facebook group for photographers. So you can check that out. So my YouTube channel is just my last name, Michael Sasser. You could just Google that. My Instagram page is Sasser Stills Boudoir, stills like still photograph. And then my Facebook group is facebook.com/SasserEducation. So those are all three places that you can do. If you guys want more in-depth, step-by-step business-related tutorials, I've got online courses at boudoircourses.com. And that's the setup.
Right on. I'm surprised that boudoircourses.com wasn't already taken. That seems like a pretty high value domain right there. So congratulations on that. But I will link to all those things in the show notes. And again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing everything that you did today.
I had a blast. Thank you so much.
Every time Michael comes on, it is it's so interesting to hear from a photographer who is not only successful in what they do, but also it is a completely different genre than what you do as a photographer. And while, you know, him and I are similar in the sense that like weddings and boudoir, it's definitely a service. I think with boudoir, it is so much more of a service than wedding photography can be. And it just seems like the level of information that he has and the level of knowledge that Michael has is just, it's like getting, you know, to pick the brain of an expert right there. And it was a ton of fun listening to Michael. What I loved also is that just like how many different ways there are to do the exact same thing. You know, we can, Michael, he wasn't having any problems getting clients. That wasn't the issue. But what he wanted was to get better clients, and he figured out a way to be able to do that, you know. And that, to me, is awesome. And oftentimes we hear it's the words that you use on your website, or it's, you know, the photos that you show on social media, or it's the experience that you give. And while all those things are true, they're only partial answers. It's only incomplete information. So again, to be able to hear Michael's system in this waitlist idea and how he implements it and how it's not complicated was really fun and interesting to listen to. And again, I'm excited to implement some portion of it into my own wedding photography and see what happens. You know, it can't be a bad thing. So I would love to hear your biggest takeaway in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group. feel free to share it in there. Let me know what it is. Again, if you are not a part of the group, feel free to join by heading over to facebook.com and searching for Beginner Photography Podcast. You will find it right there. We would love to have you come in, say hey. And that is it. So until next week, I want you to get out. I want you to shoot as much as possible. I want you to stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. If you enjoy the show, consider leaving a review in iTunes. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.